Feel like you're stumbling around in the dark when it comes to your relationship with Christ? Then I would invite you to join us for the next few minutes as we go to God's Word for focus and direction. Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon is next. Join us. Hello. Welcome to Abounding Grace, the ministry of United Reformed Church here in Linden, located at 8650 Benson Road. We would invite you to join us as our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, refers us back to God's Word once again that we might find our grounding in Christ, our encouragement, and our strength to go on day by day in Him. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, we are very thankful that you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We are continuing our study in the Gospel of John this week as we continue in John chapter 15 and look at Jesus' teachings on the things that we can expect as Christians, as followers of Him, immediately in context here of what He was describing to the disciples. Let me read a little bit of this, and then we will unpack this section this week. This is John chapter 15, beginning at verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Wow, what powerful words this morning in John chapter 15. The disciples have been immensely troubled over the conflict and hatred that Jesus was receiving. Jesus has been really comforting through it all about his love for them. It's really been amazing to study the Gospel of John. They were distressed in this section that he was leaving them. He responded by promising them the Holy Spirit. They were distressed that one of them could betray Christ in Judas Iscariot, and yet he explained to them that not all the branches in the kingdom bear fruit. The Father chooses his own to bear fruit. They were distressed about assurance, and last week Christ showed them in calling them friends that they were no longer under the law, and that he had chosen them to bear fruit that would remain. But now there's something else they must understand. And it's simply that belonging to him invites the world's hatred. In other words, the cost of his love is then to receive the world's hatred. This is really important for us as Christians today, something that we don't grasp living in North America, something that's very important to consider the implications of what Jesus is saying. They needed to understand. What was the cause of this hatred? We need to understand what is the cause of this hatred and why it is so. The main point this week on Abounding Grace is really simple. The more we are Christ-like, the more we will be hated and shunned by the world. So that means the inverse is true. The less Christ-like we are, the more we will be loved by the world. That's a simple working summary of everything that Jesus is saying here in John chapter 15. But it raises all sorts of questions that Jesus here, that he then explains to his disciples. What is Christ-likeness like? And if I am that, what drives people's hatred of the Christian? What drives the world's hatred of the Christian? Is it his hard stances on things? Is it his uncompromising stands for truth? What is it? What is it about our Christ-likeness that makes us hated by the world? I'm convinced that not only is this one of the most important sections for understanding the Christian life, but also to encourage us when we face the world's hatred, that such hatred is a mark that shows that we belong to him. So this is where we begin, in verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now, the word for hate here in the Greek is missuo, which is one of the strongest words to emphasize total disgust, rejection, hostility. Now, did you hear what Jesus just said? He's not presenting this as something that might happen. He just said at the end of verse 19 that this hatred is a matter of fact. He made a categorical statement. Because I've chosen you, you are hated. So think of the connection. You know that the world has hated me, but since I chose you out of the world, that means you're no longer of the world. And since you're joined to me, the vine, you are utterly and totally hated by the world. Why? Now, this is just crucial this morning to understand, because we're facing one of the most searching tests we can ever face. Why did the disciples need to understand this? Why do we need to understand this? I could put it in the little phrase of what Martin Luther once said. He said, "It's not fit that the head should wear a crown of thorns and the members sit upon cushions." In other words, Christ came, the world crucified him. The world hated everything that Christ stood for, his message, his person. His light was a total affront to the darkness. They murdered him for everything he stood for. And Jesus is explaining that very fact of our union, the very fact of our union with him, makes such hatred by the world a reality for us. You see, if your idea of following Jesus does not correspond to his design for us as Christians, we're in for mass disillusionment in the Christian faith. Remember what Jesus said in the parable of the sower? There are many who follow Jesus, and they follow him until their idea of what Christianity should be fails to give a dividend. In other words, they never signed up for the hardship. They never really entered it for him. Some guy on the radio or whatever said that if they follow Jesus, they will have all their sicknesses go away. If they follow Jesus, everything's going to be great. If they just have enough faith, they will be healed. I mean, you got a whole bunch of teaching like this. Now, what happens when the exact opposite is experienced? What happens when you face the hatred of the world? You know, that's what I always communicate to those who say and make a profession of Jesus. You're saying, right? If you choose that for me, Lord Jesus, that's where I go. Now, Jesus was never about fulfilling the earthly desires the Jews had for him, to restore the kingdom here on earth, to return prosperity now. What did Jesus say about the kind of soil that has an entirely false conception of what it is to follow him? Remember what he said? "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So when they face something in Christianity that results in the hatred of the world, a great cost to themselves, they're done. He stumbles. This is a sad thing in the Christian faith, isn't it? Many who sign up for Christianity have no idea what it costs them. They've been told a lie about it. And then when they face it, they're out of here. And that's why Jesus gives us a summary statement in verse 1 of chapter 16 of John's gospel. He says, "These things I've spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble." Now put it together. I'm saying all this, that your joy, that my joy may be in you and that my joy may be complete. But the cost of that is that you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. Your words are going to be scoffed at. You're not going to be liked. You need to understand this about following Jesus, because I don't want you to stumble when it happens. See what he's doing? A false prophet would say, "Hey, everything's going to be great. God has a wonderful plan for your life. God's going to make you rich. God's going to do this. God's not going to judge sin." I mean, just right down the line. Jesus is saying the opposite. You're going to suffer. You're going to face hardship. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be struck down often. But I don't want you to stumble when it happens. And that's why he says at the end of chapter 16, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Now, this is essentially what happened to Judas. He walked with Christ during the long course of his miracles, the earthly display of his power. But when Christ's hour had come and he said, now I'm troubled, I'm going to the cross, Judas snapped. He was done. None of it was paying off. He wasn't making anything from it. You see, that was his mentality of Christianity. And the whole thing exposed a wrong motivation of following. So think of what Christ is preparing them for. He's saying up front, your whole status has changed now. You belong to me. If you did belong to the world, you would have a place here in the world, but you belong to me. And because of that, the world hates you. The world, its values, its principles, what it loves, its carnal knowledge, what it thinks is wise, all of it is now set in opposition to you because of me. You ever notice that? That every other world religion is tolerated except Christianity today? Why? It's because of who the target is. The world hates everything that Jesus Christ stands for. And Jesus is saying, you need to know that if you're a follower of me, you expect the same. A servant is not greater than his master. I think most of us have a basic understanding of this, right? Most people today have a basic understanding. And I want us to think today as we consider Christianity, what it is to follow, why we're here, why Christ has set us apart, what the Lord is doing. The enmity to Christianity is everywhere. And you know, I think that's why in certain communities we have Christian schools and we've built a community of people who are Christians and share the same values. But here's the challenge this morning and this afternoon, if you tune into the afternoon program, here's what I want to leave you with. Jesus says, I've chosen you out of the world, and conclusion, therefore the world hates you. And then he goes on to explain how the world hated him. He says, they persecuted me, they will persecute you. He goes on, if they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But, verse 24, they hated him and his father. And then verse 25, ready for this? And all of this happened that it might be fulfilled in their law. And then he quotes a psalm. Do you see the problem? You're hated by the world because you belong to me, and everything I went through, you will face. They persecuted me, they heard me, they hated me, and it was all in their scriptures. Who's the world here? He's speaking of the Jews. The Romans didn't hear his words. The Greeks ultimately didn't persecute him. Sure, the world persecutes the church. That's the predominant application here. But Jesus includes as a subset of the world that the greatest enemy that we often face is from the inside. The greatest persecutions in the history of the church have come from the church. And we're going to unpack that this week. Jesus wants you to understand, dear Christian, you have to expect the opposition. You have to know it's going to come. But Jesus says, I don't want you to stumble when it comes. I've overcome the world. And the mere fact that you suffer and face these things is testimony and evidence that you belong to Jesus Christ. That is an encouragement for whatever he calls us to endure. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.